Many of us have heard the cliche, patience is a virtue. But let me ask you a question. How many of you would say of yourselves, I'm a patient person? I am a very patient person. You know, we live in a culture of instant gratification. We want everything yesterday. And I want to take some of you, most of you, back in time a few years. Some of you younger ones will have no idea what I'm about to talk about, but I'm going to do my best to describe it to you. Do you remember the old rotary phones and the party line? My grandmother had one of those, and my brother and I, because she lived right across the field from us, we were down there as much as we were at my house or my parents' house. And that phone, you could pick it up, and if somebody was on the line, you see, that's what it meant, party line. Everybody shared the same line. You put it back down because you didn't listen in on their phone calls. You weren't supposed to listen in on their phone calls. You put it down. The only time you could call out was when you picked it up and there was nobody on the line. And to call out, you didn't say, hey Siri, call so-and-so. No, you had to remember the number. Or you had it written down and you put your finger in the little thing and you rolled it around or whatever. Put it where it was supposed to go, 4, 5, 6, all the way up through 9, 0, 1 through 0, 9 through 0, whatever how you want to say it. And you went around, and then you let it come back, and then you went around again, you let it come back until you had dialed the number. And then you know what? You sat there and you waited. You waited for somebody to come answer that phone. If they were on the other end of the house, it may take a while. If they were out in the yard or they were going to town, you didn't get them. And you couldn't leave a message. There was no such thing as an answering machine in those days. So you know what you had to do? You had to try later. Call back. You may not get them for several times. But then finally, you finally caught them at home and you could talk to them. Where are we at nowadays? Nowadays, what do? We take our cell phones, most of us, and we tell the cell phone to do all the work. You know, we let Siri or whatever it is for Google do the work for us. Siri, call this. Google, call that person, and they do that for us. And if we don't get that person, we leave a message so they know we've called them on their cell phone, and they can call us right back, we hope. And then we send them a text if we don't get them, and we expect them to respond to that text pretty quickly. You know, that's the way we are. We live in a day and time where we have this instant gratification. And we have things that you're so familiar with. We have instant downloads. If you're using most of us, I won't say most of us, a lot of us have instant downloads via the internet. We have one-click shopping. You want this? Yes, click on it. Ordered. Be on its way to your house. And one day, two-day delivery. And on top of that, we have instant messaging. What has this done to us? It's made us impatient. I don't want to wait. I want it now. I actually want it yesterday. There's a problem. Our impatience has its price, both psychologically and physically in our lives. For example, what our impatience does to us from a psychological standpoint is it leads us to frustration and helplessness because we don't feel like we can do anything to really improve our situation. I can't control this. I want it done now, but it's in somebody else's hands. So we get frustrated and we feel helpless because we can't do something about it. It doesn't allow us to live in the present. We're always living in the future. What we're going to do next, what we're going to do the next day, the next minute, the next whatever. We're going to look at our phone. Well, what does it tell me I need to do? Who's trying to reach me now? We're living for the next thing, the next big thing. Not only that, it adds to our anxiety and our stress. Because we tend only to see, there's two sides of every situation. There's the positive and the negative. But we've gotten to where we kind of just see the negative side of the situation. You know, we used to think about years ago when I was a kid with my grandparents, a leisurely drive through the country. Now, get out of my way, you're moving too slow. It doesn't matter that you want to just see the countryside. I'm trying to get from point A to point B and you're slowing me down. So it affects us psychologically, but it affects us physically as well. Our impatience in our lives puts us at a higher risk of suffering from what we call hypertension, better known as high blood pressure for many of us. Not only that, it causes our body to release certain hormones known as cortisol. You know what cortisol does in our bodies when it's released within them? What it does is it causes the body to stimulate, that cortisol stimulates the platelets in our body. And what that does is it makes them more likely to clot in our arteries. You know what that does? That's potential heart attack just waiting to happen. It also causes the fat cells in our bodies to release fat into our bloodstream. Not good. And if that isn't enough, it makes us age faster. Because what it does, what impatience does in our lives, is it causes in our bodies the release of, or it affects the structures on the DNA that prevent that DNA from deteriorating. So it causes us to actually age faster. It's what impatience does in our lives. Patience is much better. And the reason that patience is much better is because it allows us to truly enjoy life to the fullest. It boosts our self-confidence. It allows us to adopt a more positive attitude in life. There's an old Chinese proverb I ran across preparing for this sermon that I thought was very interesting. It says this, "One moment of patience may ward off great disaster. One moment of impatience may ruin a whole life." One moment of patience may ward off a great disaster. One moment of impatience may ruin an entire life. So you see why Paul says that patience is a fruit of the part of that fruit of the Spirit that he seeks to develop within our lives. It's important that we become a patient people. Now, I know I told you that we were going to cover three of these. You know, love, joy, peace. That was last week. Patience, kindness, goodness. But I've kind of slowed down because these things are important for us. What is patience? If you look it up in a Greek dictionary, it's a word that most of us don't pronounce, makrothumia. And it means several things. It means patience, but it also, if you're reading from the Old King James, it means long-suffering. And that is a good way to explain it. We suffer long. It also means something like forbearance or endurance in our lives. What is patience? It is that self-restraint. It's the emotional calm that we demonstrate when suddenly we've been provoked or when circumstances suddenly cause us to experience some misfortune in our lives. We become patient with those things. It's the composite of some other virtues. Patience is made up of love. You remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4? What does Paul say? Love is, very first thing, patient. So it's made up of love. It is also involves self-control, humility, and generosity. All of those things come together to make up patience. It's the opposite of anger. And it's also associated with something else that God is known for, and that is mercy. When we're patient with people, we tend to be a little bit more merciful. But patience, one of the reasons that we need to pursue it is because it's a part of God's nature. You begin reading through Scripture, and one of the things that you find is that God, by His very nature, is long-suffering with us. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, Peter looks all the way back to the days of Noah, in that time when every intent of man's heart was only evil continually, as we find back in Genesis chapter 6. And what he tells us there is that the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark. What was God patient about? He was ready to deal with the evil and the sin upon the earth at that time, but he was waiting. He was patient with Moses in the building of the ark, patient with all of the sin that he was seeing and was in the world at that time until Noah finished the ark. Not only that, in the relationship with the Israelites, if you look in the book of Nehemiah, there in Nehemiah chapter 9, Nehemiah brings out something that I find very interesting. He talks about, first of all, what the fathers did and then how God responded to that. He says in verse 16, "But they, our fathers, acted arrogantly. They became stubborn and would not listen to your commandments. They refused to listen and did not remember your wondrous deeds which you had performed among them. So they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger." There's that patience. "Abounding in loving kindness." Patience is seen in that. "And you did not forsake them. Even when they made for themselves a calf of molten metal and said, 'This is your God who brought you up from Egypt,' and committed great blasphemies, you, in your great compassion, did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud did not leave them by day to guide them on their way, nor the pillar of fire by night to light for them the way in which they were to go." That's God's patience at work with His people. And God's still patient with us today. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, there in verse 7, Peter makes the statement that by his word, that is God's word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire and kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But then two verses later, what does he say? "The Lord is not slow," as the New American Standard says, "concerning His promises, as some count slowness, but is patient," or long-suffering, "with us, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You see, God has been patient, and He wants us to be like Him. He wants us to be a patient people too. Why? Why is it so important? Because He wants us to repent and turn back to Him, and He wants us to be saved. It is His desire that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He doesn't want, He doesn't want to lose anyone, but He knows we will make our own decision. And He also wants us, that even though we are sinners, to be able to experience His loving kindness and to enjoy that, as the psalmist brings out over in Psalm 103, verses 8 through 18. Question is, who is it that we're to show, who is it that we're to show patience toward? Well, we are to show patience toward the nuisances in our lives. Nuisances, yes. Is there anyone that annoys you? That just gets on your nerves once in a while? Are there circumstances in your life that sometimes just kind of grate on you? If so, God wants us to be patient in those areas of our lives. You see, one of the things that we find on different occasions, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, one of the things Paul says there is be patient with everyone. And then if you look at Paul's letter, second letter to Timothy, over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, there in verse 24, he tells us this. He says, "The Lord's bondservant," that's what we are, we're the Lord's bondservants. He says that the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach, and listen to this, patient when wronged. So we're to be patient with all of the little nuisances that we may experience in our lives. But something else, patient in our boredom. You ever get bored? I learned at an early age never to tell my dad I'm bored. Dad could find work in a heartbeat for me to do so that I wouldn't be bored any longer. But we do, we get bored because we're either doing something over and over again, or time or events are not moving fast enough for us, so we're bored with where we're at in life. And yet, it's in those times that we could take a good lesson from a farmer. You know, farmers are some of the most patient people I know. And here's one of the reasons why. If you look at James chapter 5, verse 7, here's what James says about farmers. He says, "The farmer waits for the precious promise or produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and the late rains." That farmer has no control over how fast his crop is going to grow, whether it's going to get the right amount of sunshine, the right amount of rain, or too much of either. He depends upon God, and he has to wait. He prepares the soil. He plants the seed. He fertilizes it. He works it from time to time. But as far as the growing process and bringing it to the point of harvest, that's in God's hands. He has to be patient. And so we have to learn patience in our boredom. We also find that we need to be patient toward physical and psychological sufferings in our lives. What I mean by that is, maybe you are struggling with a disease in your life. Maybe even some mental illness that none of us know about. Your own medication, perhaps, to help you with it. And you don't share it with many people. But it's something that you're constantly having to struggle with and work with. And you have to be patient, because you know every day it's just one step at a time, one day at a time. And there are also those of us who are helping to take care of others who may have certain things going on in their lives. They're suffering. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. And in all of these things, we know that we have to show patience, don't we? We have to be patient. But having said all that, there's a problem. It's the problem of impatience in our lives. Have you ever stopped to think about who we become impatient with? We become impatient with others. It's people, generally, that we become impatient with. And we become impatient with our family members sometimes, because somebody doesn't get out of the bathroom fast enough. I need to get in. The door's locked. Or this isn't done when it needs to be done. Or this isn't ready as fast as we want it to be ready. So we become impatient with our family members. We become impatient with our coworkers. We become impatient with our teachers, don't we, kids? With our teachers. And sometimes they become impatient with us. No, teachers never become impatient with students, do they? Yes, they do. Because they're human. Truth is, we become impatient with people at the store, driving down the road, people that we encounter in just the daily habit of living life. We become impatient with them. If you look in Matthew chapter 18, there beginning in verse 23, Jesus tells a parable that we have titled The Unmerciful Servant, and twice that word is used, patient. Once it's on the lips of the unmerciful servant himself, to whom he owes a huge sum of money to the king, and he asked the king to be merciful or patient with him, and he would pay all. Well, the king forgives the debt. Then what does he do? He goes out and finds a fellow slave who owes him a minuscule amount of money, and he demands payment, and that fellow slave says, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you." We remember that parable. In both situations, two individuals are asking for patience on the part of another. One received it, the other did not. And then the one who refused to permit patience to be a part of the equation later had to pay up himself. But I'm going to tell you, we also find that there are times we're impatient with God. If we're honest with ourselves, we're impatient with God. Have you ever prayed to God for something that was serious to you, something that you really wanted God to respond to, and the answer didn't come in the time or in the way that you thought it should come? And so you became impatient with God. Maybe we find that we're impatient because there's a promise that God has made in Scripture that we don't think He's fulfilled in our lives yet, and so we're impatient about that. We find that we are impatient because the comfort or the strength for a certain trial has not yet arrived in our lives, and we want it, we need it. And in each of these times we fail the test, we find that we're not patient as we should be. We're a lot like Saul, King Saul that is. If you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 13, who was supposed to wait for Samuel to come and offer some sacrifices before they went into battle, and he didn't want to wait. The time came when Samuel was supposed to be there, Samuel had not shown up. So Saul does what? He takes matters into his own hands. We do that sometimes when we're impatient with God. We don't learn to trust in Him, to acknowledge Him in all of our ways, and we try to take matters into our own hands. And sometimes we're impatient with ourselves, probably more so with ourselves than maybe with anybody else. We get frustrated with ourselves because we don't do what we want to do in the way we want to do it. It's not happening for us the way we want to. Many of you as parents, you've had that young person who gets frustrated because they can't hit the ball. They're trying to learn to hit the ball with the bat, or they can't catch the ball, or they can't kick the ball, or whatever it is. There's something about which they're frustrated, and you're trying to teach them, slow down, take your time. Something they have to learn. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself, why am I an impatient person? There's some reasons. Why am I impatient with others around me? One of the foremost reasons is because our thoughts and our feelings are primarily focused upon who? Ourselves. We think first and foremost about me, number one. And because we do that, because we're focused first upon ourselves, everybody else, we don't understand why the waitress doesn't get to us as soon as we think she should. We don't realize, well, you know, there's several others that she's trying to take care of too at the same time. We don't understand why this person doesn't meet our needs as quickly as we think they should. We don't realize there are other things going on. And I think that's why Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, something about that. What he said was, do not merely look out for your own interest. Why would he say that? Because people were looking out for their own interest to the neglect of others. There's another reason we're impatient. It's because our individual strengths and weaknesses differ from those around us. Here's what I mean by that. Some of us have things that don't tempt us, but that particular thing may be a strong temptation for another person. And it may cause them to struggle. And we look at them, I don't know why you're struggling with that. That's not a problem for me. I never have a problem with that. And we begin to judge and try to determine, why can't you handle that? You see, the reason is we don't stop to realize it's a problem for them. And they may look at us and see something that they don't struggle with, but that we do, and question why we struggle with it. And so when we stop and think about, this is an area where this person may really be having a difficult time just trying to keep it together every day, and that we need to recognize that. But then a final way, our final reason that we are impatient, and I've already touched on it a little bit, is that God does not act in the way or in the time when we think He should. And so we're impatient because God is not getting on it and taking care of it for us. Now, having said all of that, here's something else. Our goal is to develop patience in our lives, is it not? If we're going to develop this fruit, this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, then patience is to be a part of our lives. How do you do that? How do you grow in patience? Well, you ever heard of the School of Hard Knocks? You need to enroll. Enroll in the school. And what do you mean, Jeff? Well, here's what I mean by that. Let me share with you a passage of Scripture here found in the book of James. Here's what James says, James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect work, or perfect result, as the New American Standard says, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. What is James saying? He's saying, welcome the difficulties in life and learn from them. Remember those nuisances I said something about a moment ago? Do you realize that God puts trials in your life to help you grow? They're there for a purpose. It is to help you become what He wants you to be. That person that annoys you, thank God for that person, because God may be using that person to help you grow in patience, to help you become a patient person. That situation in your life, maybe it's a job that you're not happy with, but you can't move to something else because there's nothing else right now for you, and you're frustrated in it. It may be that God is using that job to help you become a patient individual. Consider it God's gift to you to help you grow in your patience. Let me share a passage of Scripture that you all know, but perhaps you've never thought of it in this way. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. God causes all things all things. That means the difficulties in your life, God uses them to work together for your good, which means your patience. Have you ever stopped to think about what God is doing in your life to make you a more patient individual so that you can glorify Him? But another thing that helps us to grow in our patience is we build patience through meditation or Bible study, meditation, and prayer. If you go back to the book of Lamentations, Lamentations was written by Jeremiah the prophet. It was written at the time following Jerusalem's destruction by the army of Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar. And he's walking through, Jeremiah is walking through the city. And he's seeing all of the devastation. The temple has been burned. All of the things in the temple being carried off. And he's seeing people he knows either dead in the streets or others being carried away as slaves, as captives, all the way to Babylon. And he writes these words that we find in Lamentations chapter 3, beginning in verse 24. He says this. He says, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will have hope in Him." And then he adds this. "The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to those who seek Him. It is good that He waits silently for the salvation of the Lord." Let me ask you a question. Is the Lord your portion? Are you seeking Him? You know, if you wait patiently for Him, He's going to bring good into your life. That's the promise. That's what Jeremiah held on to. So we have to learn to wait silently for His salvation. Pray that God will guide us and help us to become the person He wants us to be, a more patient individual. But then finally, work to put yourself in other people's shoes. Many of you are familiar with the book, To Kill a Mockingbird. Harper Lee wrote it many years ago, became a movie. Gregory Peck, I think, had the lead character. Atticus Finch, a lawyer. And there's a statement that that lawyer makes. Atticus Finch makes at one point in the movie. And here's the statement. He says, "You never really know a man until you stand in his shoes and you walk around in them." How many of you have stopped to stand in somebody else's shoes for just a moment? We want to complain about what's going on or why things aren't right or why somebody doesn't move fast enough. But stop to consider. If you're a teacher and you've got a difficult student, stop to think about what possibly is going on in that student's home life that would cause them to be doing what they're doing right now. Maybe you find a person that you encounter at work and you wonder, why is my supervisor on my case today constantly? You don't know what just happened at home. You don't know what news he or she may have received from the doctor about what's going on medically in their lives. Why is the cashier so discourteous to me? You may not realize that just five people before you, that cashier was chewed out by somebody for no apparent reason, and now she's just trying to keep it together to get through her shift. Put yourself in somebody else's shoes before you become impatient with them and want them to do something more than what they're doing. You and I do not know what's happened in somebody's house or what's happened in a doctor's office or 100 other places in that individual's life before we encountered them. So try to put yourself in those shoes. Being the hands of Jesus, which is what we want to do this year, requires love, joy, peace, but also patience. God wants us to be a patient people, not just with one another, but with those that we encounter every day here in our community. And when people encounter us, may they see people that truly are willing to put others first. Let somebody merge in front of you in traffic this week. Let somebody else go ahead of you into the store. Hold the door open for them and let them go ahead of you. Do something that lets somebody else know, I don't have to be first. Don't sweat the small stuff, as we sometimes say. But just be the person God wants you to be. Are you a patient person? If not, God wants you to become one. And He will provide the means. He will help you to do that, because that's the way we give glory to Him. But if you're here this morning and you know my life does not reflect a living Lord within it, if you're a Christian and that needs to change in your life, please let us pray with you and for you. Let us encourage you. But if you're a person here or watching with us who's not a Christian and you want to become a child of God and you want to know these graces that God wants to bestow in your life, be willing to confess Jesus as Lord in Christ. Turn from your sin, a life that's been lived apart from God, be buried with Him in baptism, and let Him begin to remake you from the inside out. If you need to respond to God's invitation, won't you come right now?